Church, I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. It's been quite some time, but I'm excited for the word that God is going to bring to us today. I'm just going to start with a prayer, and as we go, just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you would begin to activate healings in people's lives today, Father Lord. I ask, Father Lord, wherever pain exists today, I ask for healing to go forth now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father Lord, that you are touching people today, Father Lord, wherever they are right now, O Lord. I ask that you would touch their bodies and their minds now, O Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just see that the Lord is activating healing in regards to if you have migraines, if you have continuous migraines. I feel like the Lord is touching your mind and the migraines that you've been receiving. I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to touch those minds today, Father Lord, and remove the migraines, O Holy Spirit. I just ask that you send your angels regarding that. Holy Spirit, I just even sense that that is causing a lot of pressure in your eyes and it's causing a lot of stress, it's causing a lot of pain. And so, Lord, I just ask right now, O Lord, that you would begin to remove every sickness, Father Lord, that pertains to the migraines that they've been getting, O Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing this now, Father Lord. I just ask, O Holy Spirit, even I see someone with the pain in their hands. I ask, O Holy Spirit, right now, Father Lord, that whatever pain that is and whatever and however they've received or however they got this pain, I ask, O Lord, that you'd begin to just heal the pain in their arms, in their hands now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, O Lord, that you're a God that is here and is well, Father Lord, and that is able to heal, Father Lord, not by distance, Father Lord, but wherever they are, Father Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit. And another thing that I saw was I saw someone that is writing or likes to write. However, there's been things that have been going on in your mind, and there's been things that have been really, you've been contemplating even suicide and even things that have taken your life. Just ask, O Holy Spirit, that you'd begin to fill their rooms right now, Father Lord, wherever and whoever it is, O Lord. I just ask, O Lord, that you would begin to touch their minds and their hearts, O Father Lord, because, Lord, you are with them. And I just want to encourage you that God sees you and God knows what you're walking through and God knows the plans that he has for you. And so I just ask, O Lord, that you would begin to just fill that room, fill that place right now, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We give you the glory even as we begin to just hear your word today. Father Lord, I ask that you would begin to just allow us to see beyond ourselves and see beyond the natural, Father Lord, so that you, O Lord, would be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the title of my message this morning is called The Transfigured Experience. See, as we walk into or go into the Easter season, we're going to be hearing a lot about what Jesus has done on the cross. And we know and we hear this every year about what Jesus done. And especially as we receive Christ into our lives, we know that because of him and because of what he did on the cross, we have salvation or we have eternal life. And so I want to really talk about from today the transfigured experience. And we know that Jesus went to the mountain and he transfigured before his disciples, and we saw Elijah and Moses with him. But I want to start off a little before that in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and I'm going to kind of lead into that passage. And it says this in Mark 8:31 onwards. It says, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed after 3 days and then rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in the mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.'" So his mind was not renewed in the things of God. We see that when Jesus was talking and he says that he's explaining that all these things that he has to go through, Peter quickly looks at the human side of things and says, "Hey, no, you should not be going through that. No, I won't let that happen, or this is not right." And so anyhow, Jesus addresses this before the other disciples, saying, hey, get behind me, Satan. He says that your mind or your thoughts are not of the things of God, but it is on the merely human perspectives. So sometimes we underestimate the power of the renewed mind. See, in order for us to be able to experience God and to live in the ways of God and to actually operate in the giftings of God, our minds need to be renewed. And so sometimes we don't actually give importance to the renewed mind experience that we ought to have on a continual basis, because the renewed mind is also a sustained repentance, meaning that you are continually in a conviction, a feeling of conviction before God, saying, God, there's sin inside of me and I got to be able to bring it before him. And so a renewed mind is always in sustained repentance, that you're always continually looking before God and bringing yourself as a naked man before him to say, God, see what if there is any sin within me or anything that is within me that is not of you. And so a renewed mind or a renewed person will understand that the things that are unseen is eternal, that we see things at a different perspective. See, when Jesus said these things about concerning himself, about what is going to happen to him, Peter did not see what Jesus was talking about. He saw it in the natural. And so sometimes, even though we come to church and we're doing things of God, we're serving God, and we're doing all sorts of things before God, however, our minds are not yet renewed. We see this through Peter's life, and we'll see this even as we go into this passage of the Transfiguration, that Peter's mind was not completely renewed. And we know that eventually his mind is fully renewed and God uses him in such a great way. And so as a renewed person or a renewed mind, we see that everything that we see is actually inferior to the things that we don't see or to the unseen world. And so when we have a renewed mind, we live in an awareness. We live in an awareness that is anchored by faith that is not visible. Right? Our faith is anchored by Christ because we don't see the things that we want to believe. Right? And so when we want to believe things for God or we want to believe things from God, we ought to believe it without seeing. We know the disciple that wanted to see. However, a renewed mind allows faith to operate out of a greater understanding or a greater reasoning with God. And so in order for us to experience the things of God, in order for us to actually take the experiences that we have, whether it be in church or whether it be when in our prayer time or wherever we are and we are experiencing God, we ought to take that experience into our lives. And so Peter, he didn't know what Jesus was talking about here. He was clueless, and so he rebukes Jesus saying, hey, don't say that. How many of us Christians sometimes we say, you know, things that are going to happen or we want the good things to happen, but when we walk through tribulations and trials and things, we sometimes pray to God and say, God, take me out of this. You know, why is this happening to me? See, a renewed mind does not always seek for answers for prayer, but realizes that it's not just the answers for prayer that we look for, but allowing God to use us through the issues of our problems, that is where our renewed mind becomes and sees the plans and wills of God through the issues that we walk through. And so to continue, it says this in verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their lives for me and for the gospel will save it. And so we see this, that the gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news. And so obviously the good news, we know that Jesus died and he resurrected, and because of that we have eternal life. But this is before he died. Jesus is talking about what? He's talking about the gospel. What is the gospel? That the kingdom of God is at hand. That is coming. And so we see that in all three of these, three of the four gospels, when it's talking about the Transfiguration, in each case it says that some of these will not taste death until the kingdom of God comes with power. Right, so if you read from Mark chapter 9 verse 1 and even Luke 9:27 and Matthew 16:23, it says, I'm going to read from Mark 9:1, it says, and he said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. And so we see that all these three passages, it's followed by the Sermon on the Mount, or the Mountain of Transfiguration, right? And so it says 6 days later, right? He goes to this place. And so it's followed by, hey, some of these will not experience or taste death, right? Until the kingdom of God comes with power. And then right after that passage, it goes into this transfiguration story about Jesus going to the mountain with three of his disciples. And so I want you to keep in mind, even as we speak, that the renewed mind needs to be able to see what God is doing, or what's happening with God here, or what's happening with Jesus as he goes up into this mountain and as he comes down. And so there's a lot that happens. I mean, even when I was just preparing and reading, the Lord was just really downloading a lot of things into my spirit, especially even about, you know, myself and things like that. So even as you listen, I want you to see it in the spirit and see what God wants to do with you through your life in the spirit realm, because sometimes our lives don't make sense. Things that we're walking through may not make sense, but if we are able to see what God is doing through our lives in the perspective of the kingdom, then we're able to see the plans and the will of God over our lives more clearly. And so in Mark chapter 9, it goes from verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he transfigured before them. And so this word transfigured, right? The Google definition is transformation into something more beautiful or elevated, okay? The Greek word is metamorpho, okay? Which is the exact same word that has been used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which is talking about do not be transformed by the, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, and so what's happening here is that it's the same word, the word transfigured is the same word that is being used for that particular verse, meaning transfigured means to be transformed in your mind or being renewed of your thinking. And so you're able to see what is happening in the unseen world around your life so that you are able to influence the things that are happening in your life by what is inside of you and not on the outside of you. Are you with me? And so if you are able to see what is happening on the inside, if you're able to renew the things that are happening on the inside, if you're able to see, hey, the plans of God even through the struggles, if you're able to see the issues that are in your life, maybe whatever problems, whatever financial problems, whatever family problems, whatever is happening, whatever issue that is coming against you, you're still able to see the plans and will of God through it all, because you know that you're not defeated on the inside, because inside your mind is renewed by Christ. And so, but the truth is, yes, there was a lot of physical changes that happened in that atmosphere of the transfiguration. And so if you read continually in Mark chapter 9, verse 3, it says, his clothes became dazzling white and whiter than anyone in the world could ever bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah, who were talking with Jesus. And so in the other book, in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, it says, he was praying and the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as flash of lightning, or another translation says glistening. That means there was bright flashes, there was shiny elements that were happening over Jesus as he was praying before God. And so there was something that was happening in the physical that was happening as Peter, John, and James were watching Jesus. And so Mark chapter 9, verse 5 says, Peter said to them, Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? Let us put up these three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say because they were so frightened. But Luke, in his book, he says, he did not know what he was saying. He's like, hey man, this guy was so clueless, his mind was not in that radar of where Jesus was, that even though there was a great experience, an experience with God, that there was, you know, the Father who spoke, and there was, you know, Moses and Elijah there, and there was glistening, there was light, and there was flashes, and there was this all these things, and his face was not even to be recognized by the disciples, that there was so much going on, yet still, Peter here, we see that his mind wasn't renewed. It wasn't experiencing what Jesus was experiencing. experiencing. Sometimes we can be in church and experience the atmosphere of what God is doing, yet still miss what God is actually doing. Are you with me? So when we come to God, if our minds are not renewed, if we're not coming before God in an expectation of change or an expectation of moving in the Spirit of God, to be able to see what is happening in your life in the unseen world rather than seeing what's happening in your life in the natural. See, sometimes unless we see it in God's perspective, the things that we do in our lives or happen in our life does not make sense. And it's not supposed to make sense because we are a children of God and we're supposed to walk through these trials and know that God in His wisdom, in His knowledge, in His foreknowledge of knowing our lives, is able to make us what He wants us to be, even though we walk through trials. And so, we see that there was a transformed mind or transfigured mind or a transfigured Jesus. And we see this in the illustration of, or we see it in the natural. We see that, hey, something actually happened to Jesus there, right? But not just that, this was a physical illustration of what was happening to Jesus, or physical illustration, what the renewed mind looks like in the physical. All right, let me say that again. It was a physical illustration what the renewed mind looks like in the physical. So we see that there was a huge change that happened in that moment where Jesus was experiencing before Elijah and Moses. And we see in the scripture that they were talking about what? What were they talking about? They were talking about the what was going to happen to Jesus. They were talking about His death. They were talking about the resurrection. They were talking about the plans of God in this moment. Can you imagine that Jesus was about to go through the crucifixion? He was about to be crucified. He's about to be pierced. He was about to go through all of the pains and struggles so that He can die for our sins. And here we see that Jesus is talking to these two patriarchs, Moses and Elijah, about what is yet to come, about the things that are going to happen. Even though he's walking through the struggle, even though he's walking through the mess in his life or the struggles that he's going to walk through, yet still he had peace and was able to walk through them. See, the mountain of transfiguration is like a moment where we as believers need to experience that in our life. It was a prototype for what was yet to come for us. This was a place where, God fills you. You know, when we get saved and when our conversion takes place, we see that, hey, God has come and he's touched you. He's grabbed your heart, and there's a need for God, a dependency upon God. And then what happens is that over time in our relationship with God, we are filled. And then the Holy Spirit, we see that in Acts chapter 2, we get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit later on. But however, we see here that this, you know, how in the very beginning, right before the transfiguration happened, we see that Jesus says to in every of the Gospels, it says that none of these or some of these will not see or taste death until the kingdom of God comes in power. We see that this is not a fulfillment of that prophecy, but we know that the fulfillment came when the Holy Spirit came and filled everybody. See, when we come to Christ and we have this experience with God, over time we get filled with the presence and power of God in the knowledge of understanding and in the knowledge or the wisdom of knowing God. And so, and then it continues, verse 7. I know I'm running through this, but I want to just get to the point of where I'm going with this. And then the cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I love, listen to him." And so we know that this is the Father speaking over the Son and in front of the disciples. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw any one of them except Jesus. And so we know that there was an experience that happened with Jesus and the disciples seeing what was happening. And then all of a sudden, it said that there was nobody else. It was just Jesus. See, sometimes in our lives, we experience God in a way that others may not have experienced God. We experience God differently from others. And we see here that even though these disciples experienced a supernatural event in their lives, yet still they were able to miss the mark with God. Okay? Then it continues to say, as they were coming down the mountain, in Luke it says the next day, as they came down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of God or the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matters to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. So think about it. These disciples hearing Jesus prior to this, saying, hey, I'm going to have to go through this and this and this. And, you know, Peter says no. He rebukes Jesus. And Jesus then in turn rebukes him back. And then still, then he goes into the experience with God, and seeing what had happened and the conversation that took place with Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and yet still misses the understanding because his mind was not yet fully renewed. And so they did not know what rising from the dead meant. They had understood that Jesus was going to die, but they didn't understand that there was a resurrection that was coming. And so in Luke chapter 9, 31, it says, they spoke about his departure. Who? Jesus and the other two, right? They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem, right? So check this out. You can have a mountaintop experience with God and yet still not have the understandings of what's happening. And it's true. You may not fully understand the things of God when it's actually you're experiencing them. And just like Peter and the other two disciples, they didn't understand what was happening, right? They didn't catch the magnitude of the experience that they just walked through, right? So sometimes because of that, sometimes we believers, because we don't understand what just happened, what do? We dismiss it due to the fact that we don't understand, right? And so because we don't understand, we say, hey, that doesn't make sense to me logically, and therefore it is put aside. And so what happens is in retrospect, we actually don't allow the renewing of our minds to take place. And the renewing of our mind is such an important thing to a believer that unless you have a renewed mind and a renewed walk with God, we're not able to experience God and see the plans of God and the will of God in our lives through the eyes of what Jesus actually meant for us to learn through. Are you with me? So we had, you know, they had no understanding, no renewed mind, simply witnessing the power of God and saying, wow, that was great. That was the biggest fail, I would say, in Peter's life, you know, beyond other things that he's failed with. He did not understand the magnitude of what was happening before him, right? See, not activating our minds to be transformed in our thinking. We ought to transform our minds. We have to have a core conviction in our hearts, in our minds to say, God, I need to understand you. I need to be able to see what you see in my life so I can walk through what I'm walking through, right? See, we don't have to walk through the issues and pains of our lives just because we're walking through them. We can walk through them with an understanding of the greater plans that God has for us so that we may walk in victory and not in whatever we're walking through usually. And so understand this. See, John the Beloved, when we see John was one of the disciples that was there. John was so close to Jesus. He was the beloved. He's the guy that was, you know, leaning on the chest of Jesus. This guy knew how Jesus looked like. He knew how he was. He knew the heartbeat of God. Yet still, the verse says that whose face? Jesus' face was unrecognizable in this experience that he was having in the transfigured state. He was unrecognizable. The same John describes Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, someone like the Son of Man, dressed in the robe reaching down into his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of a rushing water. In his right hand held seven stars, and out of his mouth was sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And we see that John, the guy that saw Jesus prior to, the one that leaned on his chest, describes the same Jesus in Revelations as something amazing, something very, very different. And we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, in this world we are like him. Who? Like Jesus. This is a prophetic picture of a generation that is able to see the kingdom of God coming with power. We see that there is a huge distinction between how Jesus was and how he saw Jesus later, because a renewed mind changes our countenance. The renewed mind changes the appearance of our lives, right? And we make ourselves available to his will and his plan over our lives when our minds are renewed. Or we will have our own desires or our own thinking and our own agenda before God, saying, hey, these are the things that I want to achieve. But in a renewed state of mind, we're able to submit our lives and our will before God so that God can pick you up and use you the way that he desires to use you. And so we think when we go to God and we ask for prayers, or we ask for God for answers to our prayers, we think that answers to our prayers is the evidence of faith. Because when we have answers to our prayers, we get excited and we get encouraged that, hey, God has heard my prayers. But check this out. A renewed mind lives with the awareness that God wants to do something through you and not for you. And so God would want to do something through the circumstance so that you get out on the other end a different person, a different character, a different individual in God, because your faith has grown. And rather than that, we just say, hey, God, just answer my prayers. And this is my, or we think in such futile ways that, hey, this is all I need. But what God sees is God sees you beyond yourself. He sees what is possible through you because he understands who and knows who you are. And so he changes our thinking from the inside so that on the outside we become unrecognizable, or the things on the outside may not seem like, hey, everything is perfect and everything is great. But he says when he changes our thinking on the inside, it is recognizable on the outside to whom? To every principality, to every demonic force. When things are changed on the inside, when we have a renewed mind and a renewed state and a way that God wants us to think and feel and know, it is recognizable. That means the principalities of this air, the people in this world, everyone around you will recognize there is something different on the inside, because whoever you are will come out on the outside. And so the renewed mind enables us to live with the understanding and realization that my experience in God becomes the lenses in which I see my present situation. That everything that I see and understand and experience in my life, right, becomes the lens that we see our present situations in. And so in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 onwards, we continue. We see that, hey, there's been an experience with God. There's been a mountaintop experience with God. Right? How many of us had that before? Many of us had that. We've had supernatural encounters. We had so much great things that we've done before God, or we've experienced in God. And so coming down from that mountain and saying, wow, I just experienced the greatest thing in my life. How is our lives proving that experience that we just had? Right? Let me ask that question again. How is our life proving the experience that we had with Jesus on that mountain? Right? When we had these great experiences, was there a change in our lives to see the power of God or the kingdom of God come with power in our lives, in our surroundings, in our personal lives, so that God will be glorified through that encounter that we had? That's a question we ought to ask ourselves. And so it says that when they came down to the other disciples, when they came down the mountain, they saw a large crowd and around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as they saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. So Jesus goes, man, this guy, Jesus just had an amazing experience. He had a supernatural encounter. The Father spoke, there was Moses, there was Elijah, there was all this, you know, light and action, and all this stuff in the mountain, and the disciples were sleepy and all of that. But besides that, Jesus comes down from this great experience and knowing and being strengthened by them to go through what he's about to go through, and he's met with a bunch of people arguing. He's like, why? What is going on? Why are you arguing with these people? And so sometimes Jesus comes to us and says, hey, listen, you just had an experience with me. You just had this encounter with me. Why are you bringing yourself to a point of just meddling with your mind or meddling with the worldly things. So Jesus is calling us to a greater height in experiencing him. Okay, and then it continues that a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by the spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, he's thrown down to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples, okay, to drive out the spirits, but they could not." It's interesting that Jesus allows them to have this experience of trying to what? Cast out a demon. Right? And so it says here that they could not have done this. Because why? Their minds were not yet renewed. And then it says, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay here with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus calls him, right? And later on it says, you know, everything is possible with those that believe. The question is, do you not get it? Do you not understand that the renewing of your mind and an experience with God, an intimate experience with God that changes the course of your life will change the course of how you see your life in general, right? The renewed mind understands that the power of God comes from God. And the power of God is, you bring, as a believer, we bring in the kingdom of God into the places that we go to. Right, we wherever we go, the kingdom of God comes because of the fact that God has renewed our minds and we see the kingdom at work in the spirit. We see, hey, what's happening when we don't see it in the natural, right? And so sometimes when we don't understand it, we question God or we question others because we don't see what they see, because a renewed mind sees in the spirit and sees what's happening in the spirit and not in the natural. In the natural, it may seem like, hey, this boy was possessed and nothing could have been done. But Jesus then, obviously, we see that Jesus redeems his boy and he gets healed. See, our experience with God on the mountaintops need to release the kingdom of God around our lives. Amen. And so we see that the Father also says, and you know, we can probably relate to the Father, because it said when Jesus says all things are possible for those who believe, immediately the boy's father, you know, said, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." You see, sometimes how often do we go before God and say, "God, yes, I do believe. I believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. I believe you can do that. I believe all of these things, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all of it," right? But we don't have true belief in experiencing it in our lives. See, as we were worshiping, and I was just talking to God, and God convicted me that, hey, we are willing and able to say, "Hey, God, I will do anything for you. I'll go to the ends of the earth for you." We see that Peter was the exact same way. We see that Peter says, hey, when Jesus says, "I have to die," he says, no, he rebukes Jesus. When Jesus says that one would betray him, he says, "Anyone else can do it, but I won't." And so he was quick to say, "God, I will give up everything for you and do whatever you ask me to do." Yet still we see here that we can say we believe, but if we don't have an encounter and a renewed mind before God, whatever we say is just words before God, because our hearts is what he knows. And he knows that, hey, you will not follow through what you have just said in your mouth. And so our unbelief needs to be renewed by our renewed mind, or needs to be renewed so that we may be able to see the unseen into the seen. Okay, and then so we see here, after a little time, the disciples took him aside and said, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we experience what you just did? And then Jesus replied, this kind can only come out, he's talking about the spirit, can only come out by prayer and fasting. See, our experience with God in prayer, in the dwelling places of God, needs to reveal the glory of Jesus to the world. We ought to reveal the power and the glory of God through our lives so that people and everyone else in this world may see the power of God. And so, see, so many believers, and we all do this, that we work towards presenting who? We work towards presenting the Savior that goes to the cross. We present Jesus heading to the cross. And we don't necessarily always present the one that is resurrected, ascended, and glorified. And so as we close here today, see, I know that the cross is essential for everything in our lives. But the life of a believer is actually the life of the resurrection, the life of the transfiguration, the renewed mind, and able to transform the world by the renewing of our thoughts and our understandings of God so that we may grow in wisdom and in knowledge of God, so that we may be able to experience God and then bring that experience to our world, to our people, to the things around us. And so as we have this transfigured experience, saying, God, I come to you as I am, and allow our minds to be renewed by God, then God takes you and reveals you to the world as one of those that follow him. And the kingdom of God, as the Bible says, he says, some of you will not taste death until the kingdom of God comes with power. Amen. Let us close in prayer. And then as we close, the worship team is going to come up and lead us in this last song of worship. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are good and your power, Father Lord, endures through us and for us and into the world, oh Father Lord. I ask, oh Holy Spirit, that even as disciples, Father Lord, as those disciples had experienced and seen the mountaintop experiences with you at the transfiguration, we know that there's so many things, oh Holy Spirit, that changes in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask, Father Lord, that the kingdom of God will come through us and allow the world around us to see you glorified. So, Father, I thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.